It's beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It's great to be with you again. And, you know, whatever the season, isn't it wonderful when you get out and you look at nature and you realize that God created all this? You know, I was recently reading a book and it stated that God is a computer. Well, I thought that was a little demeaning of God. He's greater than a computer. But, you know, if we could imagine some kind of a divine intelligence that has all the knowledge that ever existed or ever could exist, and we could access that, just like the internet, access that knowledge, then I guess we would be tapping into God. Well, we're not going to be able to tap into all of God's knowledge because that would make us God. But it does seem that God is so good to us as Christians that when He resides in our heart after we've repented of our sins and accepted Jesus as our Savior, that God does put a certain kind of knowledge in our heads, our hearts, our minds, our souls. We seem to know more about spiritual things than the world at large. We can understand. The wise shall understand, even though the wicked will not understand. That's Daniel 12, verse 10, by the way, paraphrased. Now, one of the things it seems that we immediately have a discernment about is sin. I was talking to a man recently. He said, "Tex, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I was so determined that pro-life Christians were wrong that I used to volunteer, my wife and I both, for Planned Parenthood. He said, but the minute I became a Christian, suddenly I knew that abortion was murder, was wrong, was a sin. He said, now, in accepting Jesus, I accepted Jesus, I repented of my sins. No one had taught me the pro-life stand. I really wasn't even aware of the issues. I guess I just hated Christianity so much before I accepted Jesus. Why is it that my heart totally changed? I had a transformation and suddenly I had a change of behavior. I couldn't stand to go to Planned Parenthood. In fact, I wanted to fight them. I wanted to tell them they were wrong. What was that? I've heard that from people who were Masons. Once they became Christians, they could not bear to enter the Masonic Lodge. The symbols there, the rituals, even the people there and the things they said and did. They said, "Tex, is there something wrong with Freemasonry?" They didn't even understand what their distaste or dislike for Freemasonry was all about. But God had put a kernel, a seed of knowledge in their mind about those things. You know, one of the things I believe that God puts in people's minds and hearts to do as well and to believe is to give gifts to God's work. I really do. You see, I believe the Bible has a meaning when it says that God loves a cheerful giver. And anyone who gives to God's great mission, to His church and to its work, I believe is going to have rewards. Now, will it be Cadillacs or Mercedes or fur coats? My goodness gracious. That's not what's important anyway in this world. I'm talking about true rewards. I'm talking about to being filled to the brim with joy and happiness and love and caring. And so much so that you wake up every morning smiling and you're happy and, oh my, isn't that really what life, even eternal life, is all about and should be all about? I appreciate so much those of you who have given to this ministry of Bible Home Church. As you know, we, of course, have to pay our bills, our radio bills. We have to pay for all kinds of things. You'd probably be amazed if you looked at our budget. And we do have to budget our money. And we do appreciate your gift so much. You know, I think people, when they invest in church, they're investing for eternity. And we're supposed to use our talents and our money, our financial means, for the Lord and His service. Because, keep this in mind, God gave His best for you. Jesus died on the cross. What a gift He gave to us. And He has laid up treasures for us in eternity in heaven. And here on earth, we should invest our money, use our resources for God. And we certainly should give regularly. We should give wholeheartedly offerings to God's work. I want to encourage you to give to this work of the Lord. And we will, of course, acknowledge your love gift. We appreciate it so very much. Now, we're talking about salvation. Imagine, we're going to move now from the gift that we give God's work, the church, to the gift of salvation that He gave us. Now, this is the series, You Can Be a Soul Winner. Now, we're going to move here into part two. We're going to talk a little bit more about salvation and salvation's promise, the promise of salvation. Some people, of course, say they don't need this promise, that they haven't sinned that much. Maybe if it's a wife, she says, I've never committed adultery. I've spanked, but I've never been really cruel and mean to my children. I don't curse at my mother. I don't kick dogs, you know, and beat little kitty cats on the head. Well, that's just fine. You're better than a lot of the world, aren't you? But still, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. You know, I don't want to call you a liar, precious beloved, but if you say you have no sin, God says you're a liar. And you're deceiving yourself. You don't want to do that. And not only that, you make God a liar. Because He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verses 22 and 23. But praise the Lord, we have a means of washing away that sin through the shed blood, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you acknowledge that, those things, that He died for your sins and that you're truly sorry for your sins and that you're going to change your behavior now and your conduct in life and become a new person, and you want to become this new person and receive this joy for all of eternity, then if you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, Romans 10, verse 13. Somebody wrote to me a while back, and they gave me a passage, and I'm sorry, I can't even remember it now. There are several like this out of the Bible. Basically, one of the new versions states that God is saving those who believe in Him. Saving, meaning a very, you know, active thing. He's doing it now. Well, you see, that's not a possibility at all, my friends. That's a false version of the Bible. Because it says in Acts 16, verses 30 through 31, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Their answer was very simple and without any haziness, without any vague meaning, they emphatically stated this. Here's how you can be saved. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do this, and this will happen to you. Isn't that something? And it seems to me that if you add something on to that, now I realize believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is, you have to believe on He who died on the cross for our sins, shed His blood. And in that, since He took up on Himself your sin, you have to realize you are a sinner and in need of Him. And that's part of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, you'll be saved. But if we add anything to that, such as Roman Catholicism does, and by the way, Billy Graham and all the others are now joining hands, Chuck Colson, Pat Robertson, Paul Crouch, all of the big names of Christianity are joining hands with the Catholics. If you say, for example, if we added on, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, follow the sacraments of the Catholic Church, accept the fact that the Pope is the Holy Father, the Vicar of Christ, thou shalt be saved. You've done a terrible thing, because it says in Revelation that anyone who adds to or subtracts from God's word will have their name blotted out of the book of life. That's a pretty stiff penalty, isn't it? So we have to understand that it's very simple. A lot of people say, surely it cannot be that simple. Surely I've got to do something. Let me go clean up my life and I'll come back to you. Let me go fix myself. Let me start attending AA meetings. I'm a drunk. Well, let me, you know, first tell this woman that I'm shacking up with, we've got to break up. Let me, oh my. You don't have to do any of those things, because God calls upon you right now. In Luke 18:13, the sinner simply prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, you don't clean up your own life. You let God do that. You don't have the strength anyway. You say, I'm not going to shack up with that woman anymore. You go to see her, and after a while, she hugs your neck and says, you're making a big mistake, and we don't want to get married. We're having a good time here while we're checking each other out before marriage. Everything is okay. Everybody's doing it. Pretty soon, you're convinced. You have no strength of yourself. You're seduced into that relationship. You say, well, I'm going to quit drinking. But then you drive down the street and there's a bar over there, a 7-Eleven store, and you know they've got liquor in there, and you know your body's crying out for it. You go in there and you get it. The flesh is stronger than your willpower, and you're on a drunk. You had good intentions. But the old saying, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm going to start a new life, you say. New Year's is coming up, and I'm not going to use profanity anymore. I'm gonna be sweeter to my husband. I'm gonna treat my children with respect. You can make all those New Year's resolutions. They're just fine, well and dandy. But you know you're gonna break every one of them probably, because you don't have the strength to withstand. Now that's where you need a little heavy duty help. You know, I didn't see the movie. I don't see very many movies at all, to be very frank with you, but I remember there was a movie not too long ago that sort of caught my eye, and because in the advertisement for the movie, they had a little short fella. I guess he was a teenager, and he looked like he was a little shrimp. He probably stood 5'3", but standing right beside him was a huge guy. He looked like one of these NBA basketball pro players, and he 7 feet, like a Wilt Chamberlain, you know, or Michael Jordan. And the name of the movie was My Bodyguard. My Bodyguard. You know, the young teenager had him a bodyguard. I don't know, you know, the thugs and the toughs at school were picking on him or whatever, so he brought a bodyguard, I guess, with him. I don't know. But the point here is, you know, the devil is out there with all kinds of attractions for you. My friends, you need a bodyguard. And you're not armed. You need the armor of God. You need to clothe yourself with the Holy Ghost. And then you don't have to withstand anything. God will fight your battles for you. Can you imagine that? Waking up in the morning and saying, God, I'm turning my sins over to you. I don't want to sin. Please help me not to sin. Just say, God, I need you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, oh, wow. You've got a 9-foot or a 1,000-foot body. Well, you can't even quantify it, can you? But you've got some powerful help there. So we can live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. I didn't say perfectly now. There again, you may falter. You may miss a step. You may get off and take a small detour. But it's best not to go too far along that detoured road. It's best, if you made one little misstep, don't amplify it and increase it to 2 or 3, or you're going to stumble and you're going to fall on your face. If you do make that first step, cry out to God. Lord, I failed you. Please help me. You see, we've got to have a constant relationship with God. One of the promises of God that I love is that his burden is light. You know, I was talking to, it was one of my sisters, to be very honest with you, some time ago. And I said, sis, I really wish you'd be living for Jesus. You know, the times are upon us and it's so important. And I love you so much as my sister. She says, I know, but I guess it's just that, I know I'm a sinner and I'm doing all of these things and I'd have to clean up my life. And it's just so difficult being a Christian. So complicated, and it's such a burden. I talked with another person, a friend of mine, a gentleman, and he said, Tex, I tried to be a Christian for years, but I just couldn't. I mean, so much is required of a Christian. Well, let me read you what Jesus says about that. Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? A light burden. I think it's just the opposite. I think every sinner in the world is living under a tremendous burden. It's like a bulging wall, and you can't hold it anymore. It's like a dike that's fixing to break and you've just got your little finger in it, but then you see a crack that's 60 miles long and 13 feet across, and the water's pouring into your lives. Have you ever felt like that? That you're just down in a cave or a cavern and everything is crowding on you? Everybody is making demands on your time and your life, and you just feel dirty, and you feel like you've been dishonest. And you need help, and you're failing, and you're faltering. That's when you remember these words of Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You need rest, my friend? Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. A lot of people under the misconception it's going to be difficult. Let me tell you, the world is difficult. You have a few play toys and a few pleasures, you think, but they don't last long. Because the devil is a very cruel taskmaster. He requires more and more. A witch from the state of Florida, she used to be a witch, wrote a book some years ago. It had a very catchy title, The Witch That Switched. The Witch That Switched. She switched from the devil to Jesus Christ. I talked to her one time. I'd seen her on TV and we chatted, and I called her up and we chatted a bit, and she was quite an elderly lady. I understand she's gone on to be with the Lord now. A couple of things she said to me were very interesting. She said, as I traveled around the circle of witches, all the witches told me how happy and satisfied they were to be witches and how miserable it must be to be a Christian. That was sort of the litany or the mantra, as we call it, she said, in the New Age. We were so happy to be witches, and the Christians were just miserable. What? She said, Every pleasure I thought I was getting from the devil, the next morning I would wake up and I was empty and I had to have more. In fact, she said, the more I did bad things and sinned, the more insatiable my appetite. And I never had enough. I was never full. I was never satisfied. I was totally, totally wanting more, more. And she says, you know, when you become desensitized to evil, and you have to have more and more excitement and more evil, and you have to begin to hurt your own body and to destroy your own self. Well, I could understand that, my friends, because the Bible says, all those who hate me love death. That's what God said. The devil will drive you right into the pit. A common misconception today is that the New Age has so much love in it. Oh, the New Agers are so loving. And one time I made the statement, yes, indeed, they will love you to death. But Jesus will love you to life. Well, I've got a few more comments to say about Jesus loving you to life and about his burden being light. But first, we need a song, my friends. Always during this program, we have some beautiful music. And there couldn't be anything more beautiful than what happened on Calvary. And this is the name of this tune from a group calling itself Gold City. Now, where would you think that would be? What city would be Gold City? Streets of Gold? Well, here's Gold City to sing about Calvary. And I'm Tex Morris, your pastor. I'll be right back afterwards.
Once there was a place of shame, and the very mention of that name brought fear and despair to the soul. People came from everywhere to see condemned ones hanging there. The ground turned to crimson red as death would unfold. Then one day upon that lonely hill stood a cross holding love fulfilled, but the mob didn't sense a special thing. Though the sky had turned to gray, this was Calvary's crowning day. It changed, was taken all away, for the cross held the key. When they see the crown that he wears and the blood flowing down his holy face, such love again I've never seen.
But love held my Jesus to that tree by those precious nails of
God for Calvary. This is Pastor Tex Morris thanking you for tuning in to Bible Home Church. Hope you'll be back with us again next week when we continue this very important series, You Can Be a Soul Winner, next week acknowledging Jesus, our Savior. May God's richest blessings be yours always.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Morris and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.